Hey all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hi, groomers. Hi, Susie. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Barbara. It is my birthday. I'll tell you a funny story. I was working yesterday and I got a text message. No, it wasn't yesterday. It was Thursday. And I got a text message from my friend and she said, "Are you going to be in the neighborhood this weekend?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm circling the drain. Why?" And she said, "Oh, just birthday stuff." And I went, "Whose birthday is it?" And then 2 minutes later, I went, "Oh, wait a minute. It's mine."
You don't forget your birthday.
Apparently I do. I forget my birthday and my anniversary, but it's okay. That just means it doesn't happen, right? If you ignore it, it doesn't happen. Well, welcome to episode 106 of the Groom Pod, recorded on my birthday, January 15th, 2017, in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona.
Dripping wet Tucson, Arizona, and it's coming through my roof.
And it's bone dry and chilly, under 20 degrees here in Snohomish, Washington. We've got the opposite things happening. So this week on the Groom Pod, it's all Ask Barbaras. Don't you love Ask Barbaras?
Oh, yay! I love Ask Barbaras.
Me too. It makes for much less work for me. behind the scenes. We're going to do the much-awaited comparison between the two chlorhexidine shampoos, one from Best Shot called MED and one from Show Season called Soothe, both of which are companies that we like. So there you go. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. That's where we gather all those Ask Barbara questions. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, and on Google Play, or anywhere else. You can find all things Groom Pod related, including the Amazon banner and our donation button at www.thegroompod.com. Remember to share us with all your grooming pals and support all of our sponsors, just like those two we're talking about today. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bieber.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. So, Barbara,
yes.
It was new clients for me last week.
Oh, yeah. New ones?
I did one. And I've got another one coming up this Wednesday, and then another one, actually two on Wednesday, because I got two more. Picked up two more.
Two more? So you're at five now?
Yes, now I've hit five.
Oh, so good.
Well, I forgot I have a really good resource in my vet friend, the place I used to work. So I sent him a text message and I said, "Hey, by the way," mind you, he has two groomers and a full grooming department there. But I sent him a message and I said, "Hey, if you get any oldies or non-travelables or anxiety dogs or anything like that, I am taking new clients." And I instantly, literally hours later, got the phone call about the two bulldogs. But let me tell you about the Havanese first. So the Havanese that I did has SLO, which is an autoimmune disease. Have you ever heard of that?
Slow?
Yeah, SLO. It attacks the nails, crack and split and fall off. It's extremely painful. Horribly, horribly painful. And his front nails, his back nails were short, but his front nails has gotten really long. And I sat there while I was working on him. He's still just a nice little black Havanese, good guy, kind of taller than he is long, kind, very nervous. And of course, if my feet hurt like his feet hurt, I understand why he was nervous. So my thought was, if I put him in the hammock and hang him from the lips, then I can do those front nails without causing him pain. Well, that did not work. And he is limping even 2 days later. I just feel awful about it.
No.
I don't know. Well, so what I texted her back was, I think in the future, if they haven't fired me, because I don't know if I'd have me come back if my dog was limping, even though, you know, I did the normal, I called her afterwards and checked the next day and the next day, and I'll probably text her again, even though I didn't hear from her yesterday. I just feel horrible. I think if I do him again, if they let me do him again, I will not do the nails. I think his nails need to be done at the vet, because everything else he was fine for. It was only the nails that caused any problem at all, anxiety-wise, and then afterwards, obviously caused problems at home. But I was devastated. I don't want to cause any pain.
I know. It's so hard.
Nor do I really want to be that brand new groomer who continues to bother them about their dog's issue if they want me to go away. So what do you think? So they didn't answer my last text, which is the one I said, if you guys have me groom him again, I think the best way we should do it is not do his nails. But I never heard back. Do I send another text message inquiring on his health, or do I leave it, Barbara?
Well, I would say leave it.
That's what I was kind of thinking, since they didn't answer me back.
Two is enough, Susie.
Okay. They have a standing appointment. They have another appointment coming up. They will have to cancel that if they don't want me to come back. So I'll know by that, you know, kind of what their indication is.
You know what I would, yeah. See, and that will give them some time to get a little longitudinal attitude.
Yes. Okay.
What I would do is check the week before.
Okay.
I just want to affirm our appointment for next week, since you're new.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't even need to go back over that, because we all know that it's there.
Okay.
Sorry about that. So what happened in the hammock? He still flailed around?
He moved around a little bit. I didn't really know the condition until after I did the dog. Then I went home and researched. I wouldn't have done the nails. I just wouldn't have done them.
There's just a lot of pain in the nail bed.
Yeah, and it's actually in the layers underneath the nail bed where the very first part of that keratin starts to grow. That's where the problem is. And it can't be fixed. It can be treated. And one of the ways they treat it is through very high doses of fatty acid supplements.
Mm-hmm.
But anti-inflammatories don't really help. I mean, and I just feel awful. I feel awful about that. She said that he was having some problems and that he had lost a nail or two, but we didn't have the deeper conversation until after the groom was done. She said, if you don't do the nails, it's okay. But, you know, nails are part of grooming, and they were so long. I didn't want to leave them. So I made a bad judgment call. My fault. I should have left them. Hindsight's 20/20.
No, I don't think you did make a bad judgment call.
Okay.
Based on the information, don't beat yourself up like that, Susie. Based on the information that you had and your own experience and your commitment to foot health, you did the right thing.
Okay.
You just didn't have the right information.
Okay. Well, I hope they give me another chance, because I really like the dog and I really like the people. But if they don't, I completely understand and I have to let it go. So learning lesson there. Doggone it. For probably her. Well, see, she said, oh, I had a bad mobile grooming experience 2 years ago. Well, I know that I don't have really bad mobile grooming experiences, and then this happened. So now I just feel like I was a bad representative for the mobile grooming industry too.
Oh, God, look at you go. Get out of the hole, Susie Scott. Get out of that hole.
Oh, that's been a week of it. It's really bad. Oh, bad, bad, bad.
You can't do that to yourself. That's unfair to you. And it's your birthday. Shut up.
Okay, I'm done.
Just no more self-flagellation. I am sure that your personality ruled, that you came across well, that they know you're a caring groomer, and you know, they know they've got a complicated problem with that dog's feet, and now you know more, and you made the best decision based on the information that you had at the time. You represented us all just fine.
Okay. I don't know why I always feel like the representative for the grooming industry, but I do. I take that all on myself.
Oh, I take it on too.
Shoulders.
Yeah, I know. I take it on too. I understand, but I'm just not going to let you grovel it in that kind of thing.
Okay, so let's move on to the dogs that I got from the vet, because we need to chat about those too, because, you know, it's all about me. It's my birthday.
Yes, it is. Okay.
So the dogs are two English bulldogs. They are 5 and 7. They have dog aggression. So they get very stressed out at the grooming shop down there at the vet because they can see all the other dogs. And it's just, they are not confident dogs, is from what I can tell. One of them has some difficulty with nails. They're both around the 65 pound range. So they're right up there at the top of my range. I told her she would have to help me lift them in.
Oh, English Bulldog, 65 pounds. What does the standard say that's supposed to be the weight of those dogs?
I don't know. Vamp a little while I look it up.
Because it just seems to me that some of these breeds have gotten out of hand. I would say not over 50 pounds should be for a bulldog. You know, like some breeds, they make them be bigger, like Airedales. They've done that to Airedales. They've giantized Airedales.
And yeah, they should have.
Springer Spaniels. Remember I told you about the Springer Spaniel that I had to groom for my certification that came from the ranch in New Mexico? It was, you know, like 1.5 times the size of what it should be. It was a big bozo. Yeah.
Well, they say they live 8 to 10 years, so they're short-lived dogs. How much do they weigh? 40 pounds. 50 pounds for a male, 40 pounds for a girl. These are two girls.
They're gigantic.
So, and I know they've got the wrinkles, so I have to clean in the wrinkles. What do I clean in the wrinkles with?
Well, I know what I would clean in the wrinkles with would be contact lens solution containing boric acid. You would do a regular face washing, but because those kinds of folds tend to hold bacteria in there, the boric acid is antibacterial and it just acidifies the face stuff right there.
Make it smell a little better.
Oh yeah, it should help with the odor.
I also heard, Linda Trader said that oftentimes they can't hold their own weight on 3 feet.
Wow.
So it makes it hard to do the nail trims. Either the butt hammock or the padded strap, since they're so heavy, and hook them up that way to help support their weight, because I usually do that anyway. Right. Anything else I need to know about these guys?
I haven't had that much experience with them, so I'm just talking off the cuff.
Right? Seem kind of greasy, maybe?
That could be.
But I haven't seen the dogs, so I don't know what these specific dogs are like. But I'm excited. I'm doing them on Wednesday, and get this, Barbara, every other week.
Wow. So is that because they have an odor problem?
I'm assuming so.
You know, and that might be seborrhea related. I mean, you could either do the medicated shampoo with chlorhexidine.
Right.
Or you could do a results rinse.
Oh, I'll definitely do results rinse. And I might do the medicated, or I'll use Best Shot One, the deodorizing one, because that really works well.
You'll have a chance to kind of trial a couple of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll keep some notes.
Right. I write good notes. I'm good with that.
Yeah. And let the people know that you're going to maybe change up. And that, you know, like you want to know how long the deodorant effect lasts. You know, when do they start smelling bad again?
Okay.
Engage them in that best protocol for their dogs. And that requires.
I always do that. And I did that with the freaking Havanese. I did that with that lady. And I said, whatever doesn't work this time, we'll do better next time. So I don't know why I just keep going back on that. Bubblegum. Mental bubblegum.
Mental bubblegum. You're just chewing on that. For some reason, you like that nasty taste.
Yes. God. Well, it makes me feel good that you bring up engaging the client to be part of the solution, because I absolutely do that. I did it instinctively with the other dog, and I'll do it with these guys. That's a great suggestion for me. I'm excited, though. Bullies are interesting. You know, not common.
Right. And you don't have to scissor them.
Yeah, no scissoring, no haircut. So here's my thought. Two dogs twice a month is like adding four dogs.
Yeah, that's good. You're really going to want to do well with them.
Yep, and I'm going to give them a regular spot. I'll find them and nestle them in so she can plan her life around me, because, you know, everyone has to do that.
Now I know why you like being a mobile groomer, because everyone has to plan their life around you.
It is. It's true. I give them my vacation schedule in January and they all plan their vacations around mine. Hey, speaking of vacations, people are wondering if we're going to Groom Expo, and I'm kind of debating going down there, but not actually to go to Groom Expo, but I'm feeling like I've had such a crappy few weeks, well, really kind of a month of crappiness, that I need some amusement park time. So I think I might go down and hit the Northern or the Southern California amusement parks for a few days and pop into Groom Expo for one day. Wow. Just one day. Maybe if Todd will let me go in for free, which I have to go hit him up for.
I've never been to Groom Expo. It's the closest trade show to Tucson, and I've never been.
Huh.
But I don't know if I'm ready to go just because physically I'm still not.
Not there yet?
Not there yet, although we're a little bit better.
Okay, well, tell me this. How far of a drive is it for you?
It's about 8 hours, I think.
Oh, it's 8 hours. Yeah, okay. That's more of a commitment, especially on achy knees and stuff. Well, needless to say, you guys who are asking, that is my thought. My thought is to go down and hit the amusement parks and pop into Groom Expo for a day. Not sure if I'm going to do it yet, but I am in the kind of in the investigative period of time.
I saw a thing, speaking of Groom Expo, I saw a thing from Barclay yesterday that Jody Murphy is doing a 4-hour special grooming simplified thing. She's going to do like 4 dogs in 4 hours.
Oh, neat.
I tell you people, you know, I partnered with Jody at the New Zealand and Australia trade shows that we did this spring, and she's fabulous, and she's so down to earth and so practical and a very good explainer, and she just has the whole demo thing knocked down so well. Just anybody that wants a serious boost to their groomability, the practical groomability and turning out better dogs, I would attend that.
They're also doing a lot of difficult dog seminars. There's like 5 of them.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, which, you know, caught my eye in the, do I really want to go to Groom Expo? But I really want to go to Knott's Berry Farm. I'm thinking about it. It's on my mind. All Not right. committing well, either
I'll
way.
I'll put it on my mind and see what it would take for me to go.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And you know what, Groom Pod people, if you guys want to see us down there, let us know on the Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. What is it, girl? Is it a fire? Is it Barbara? It's Barbara. Is Barbara in the well? No. Oh, it's time for Tail Wagon Trivia. It's Tail Wagon Trivia time.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Barbara, I'm going to ask you this question, but you already know the answer because you provided the trivia question for this week. So the question is, what sporting breed is groomed with a beard and shaggy eyebrows? I had to look it up.
Yeah, I stumbled upon it because I was sort of looking through the sporting breeds. You know, I just don't groom that many sporting breeds, so they're kind of fascinating for me. And so I was just looking through the grooming notes, and I ran into this trivia.
And I appreciate you running into the trivia.
You know, like it was just one of those kind of facts that stands out, because I wouldn't have thought that any of the sporting breeds was shown with shaggy eyebrows and a beard that gets squared off.
And I didn't realize they were plucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're plucky. So anyway, there you go. A couple clues for you guys. Now we'll hear from our friends at Best Shot, and then we'll be back with our very first Ask Barbara question.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm at the edge of my chair getting dripped on.
You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their 3-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Proline, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Got a grooming question? Let's ask Barbara.
All right, Barbara, are you ready for question one?
Hit me.
Okay. Question one comes from Christina. She posts, I have the worst problem of schnauzer eyebrows curling up. It must be something I'm doing. They flip up like an 80s do. Please help. And you know what, Barbara? I have this on one of the dogs that I do not very often. His eyebrows go every direction but the direction they're supposed to go. So help us both, would you?
Okay, so I suspect, without knowing, that this problem for Christina could be because she might be using scissors on the top of the eyebrows, and that causes shorter hairs to then break loose, and there's no weight to hold those eyebrows down. So you have to be careful that you don't over blend on the top of the eyebrow.
Well, you just figured out my problem, because I'm sure that's what I did.
Gotta have the full length from behind the orb there, it curving downward, because otherwise what else is it going to do? So in the meantime, what I would do is don't scissor anymore on the top of the eyebrows and get some gel.
Okay.
All those suckers.
Okay, gel them.
I had to gel a little Maltese Shih Tzu mix over its muzzle, because it looked like maybe last time I combed the muzzle forward and then scissored off everything that came in front of the nose, and I accidentally combed forward too much, and there was stuff on the side of the nose that was just like sticking straight up. So what do I do? If I cut it off, it's just going to grow back and stick straight up, right?
Right.
So I used heavy duty hair wax.
Like mustache wax?
Yeah, like mustache wax. Well, there's waxes out there. There's so many styling products that we don't ever touch because we're not trained to do that. But I love all these little aids. And I have these little jars of styling wax, and it's heavier than a gel. Gels work real good on eyebrows. But if you need more stick them, and you need to weigh something down a little bit, the wax has more substance to it, you know. And so
would it glue it down for longer than the gel would?
Probably.
Okay. Huh. Probably. Well, now I'm just going to have to wait it out and not go anywhere near the back end of those eyebrows. Go farther back.
I think that when you try to blend the shape over the top of the eyebrows, you create too many short hairs up in there that then go their own way.
I recall, and it's been a long time, but that if you kind of pull a few of those hairs out, then the hairs grow more in that direction. Is that a wives' tale or is that true?
Yeah, but you're also going to be creating short hairs if you pull out hairs.
Oh, good point.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The danger of using thinning scissors to actually thin is, you know, like when you go inside an eyebrow or even a hair on the thigh or something, is that you cut inside and you create short hairs inside there, which then can stick straight up.
I wonder why I never thought of this. This is something that seems so obvious now that you're saying it, and I never thought of it.
Less is more. Where you want to work on those eyebrows is mostly you want to work from the side towards the front to get a nice shape there. You know, the other way to do eyebrows is to use long scissors and go on the opposite side of the nose.
Okay.
And scissors straight across the eyebrow from the opposite side of the nose. I actually like to go from the side of the face, the corner, outside corner of the eye, and use my little 5.5-inch curves and get the shape there. And I will often lift the eyebrow up and get some of those eyelashes.
Yeah, me too.
And then, because that opens up the expression, and then the dogs can see. And when that grows back, it holds the eyebrows up.
Right, and it doesn't poke through because they're the eyelashes.
Yeah, because they're eyelashes. So those are just some eyebrow tips.
Those are really good tips. I'm going to use them this week. You know, sometimes you got to hit me in the head with a club. Clunk. Well, good question, Christina. Let's move on to question number 2. And it is from Laura. She writes, what's the difference between texturizing and volumizing shampoos? I always thought texturizing was for when you want the hair to lay flat, such as your drop coats, and volumizing was for ones you wanted to fluff up, such as poodles and Bichons. Why do some shampoos then promote both volumizing and texturizing in the same shampoo, like Nature's Specialty Almond Crisp? Will they cancel each other out?
No, they can augment each other. I mean, and let's face it, these are marketing terms.
Yes.
These are not things that have some definite, clear industry definition.
Right.
But basically, both kinds of ingredients, both texturizing and volumizing, would tend to have something in there that was called a film former, or something that would adhere to the hair shaft and make it thicker. So that's what volumizers do. And there are ingredients that do that. And sometimes they're called volumizers, and sometimes they're just called protein.
Okay.
Most hydrolyzed protein ingredients coat the hair, and they kind of plump it up because they fill in the cracks and crevices and make the hair diameter a little tiny bit larger for a short period of time. And so that would be called a volumizer. And it could be used on a drop coat or a poodle type coat. A texturizer usually is more of a stiffening agent.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's more likely to be a hair fixative, or at the very least, some products that make texturizing claims simply do not contain softening ingredients.
So it's more a lack of.
Yes, yeah, so it's an absence of softening will preserve texture. And because you really don't want too much softening when you're scissoring, and you don't want
terriers, right?
And you don't want too much, you know, softening when you're doing terriers. But other texturizing products will contain something that is just a little bit more related to hairspray, having hair fixatives or things that, well, I'm just going to leave it at that. Things that okay. make the hair a little bit more stiff.
Okay. So they can be used in the same shampoo. They are used for similar purposes. One is better for, one can also be used for flat hair. The other one, more likely not flat hair, right? The texturizing, probably not drop coat.
Yeah, I don't think I would want, why do you want you, that's where you want softening. You want your drop coats to, you know, but volumizing for sure you might use on a dropped coat. But
right.
A texturizing shampoo is more when you want the coat to really stand out. And that might be a drop coat. It might be a double coat. You know, it's interesting because when we groom double-coated dogs like Northern breeds,
right,
get all wrapped up in doing a total carding out and de-shedding. When those breeds are being shown, they want lots of undercoat in there because they want to give substance to that coat. And it just starts too limp and wimpy if it's all heavily conditioned and all the loose hair is removed. So they actually use texturizing products like the Chris Christensen Bottoms Up is an example. That's an example of a product that was developed primarily for the double-coated breeds at show to make those furnishings really have substance. And it works great on limp poodle coat. Like, I use that Bottoms Up religiously on my 14-year-old miniature poodle that gets a scissored lamb, because otherwise her coat would just look like crap. It's fine, it's soft, doesn't have the body.
Do you think any of that has to do with whether the dog was spayed or fixed before, you know, a couple heats? I've heard that rumor. You know, if you let them go through their first couple cycles and then get them fixed, then their hair coat is better. Wives' tale, fact or myth?
I think that can be true. I mean, there is the phenomenon of neuter coat.
Right.
And this occurs most often, I think, in sporting breeds, where you get more of that fluff.
The wispies and the undercoat.
The wispies and the undercoat. And actually can lose color because you've got more secondary hairs coming in and less of the good, firm, colorful primary hairs.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of leads us into an open-ended question about puppy coats. So Caitlin, her question is more open, and it's on clipping puppy coats. When I was learning to groom, I thought that clipping before the adult coat comes in can do coat damage. I have met other groomers who say that this isn't as important. So what do you do with puppy coats, and how can clipping a puppy coat alter the adult coat?
Well, there does seem to be a hormonal factor in that neuter coat, but that's actually a different question. The puppy coat thing has to do with cutting the coat when it's immature.
Right.
It has to do with the hairs in the hair follicle and the stage of the growth. So it not so much with the heat cycle as with the hair growth cycle.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think what you mean is we all know what a puppy hair looks like. And we all know that it changes somewhere in between like 6 months and a year and 6 months, depending on the breed. And the visually, the adult hair is different. It's not as fluffy. It's not as soft. It has a different look to it.
And of course, what happens with many breeds that have a distinctly different puppy coat and adult coat is that they go through a rough period of time when there's a change of coat happening and the new firmer hairs are getting caught up in the coat, causing matting, or they're really shedding more of the second. See, because the puppy coat is almost much more profusely secondary hairs.
Right.
Right. If you clip the coat before the hair changes and you have the mature coat, there's a chance that you might, it's sort of like having an effect like on a terrier if you clip it rather than strip it.
Okay.
When I'm just kind of groping around here with my own sensibility of what my emerging understanding of the hair growth pattern, the canine hair growth patterns is. But it seems to me that if you shave a dog that has a soft coat, you're going to get more soft coat. Some breeders recommend, I know that when my mother was breeding Lhasa Apso's, if we had a puppy that had a profusely cottony coat, as a puppy, the recommendation was to take it all the way down.
Ooh.
Yeah. Seven like, or 10 blade.
Oh.
Yeah, all the way down. And that the new growth would be a firmer, better coat. But.
There's a but.
The timing of that has to be right. And it's tricky to do it, the timing right. And you can just get a more profuse puppy coat coming in. So it's a gamble.
Right.
And but some breeders are brave. And if the coat texture of a puppy that they think is a show puppy just is all wrong, they'll take that gamble.
Right, because they'll just sell the puppy and they'll never have to groom it again. It comes to us. So when the puppies go through that horrible period of time where the coat is changing and everything is getting tangled up in there, the majority of my drop coat clients, the Havanese, the Shih Tzus, the Maltese, the mixes, they can't handle the brushing. I mean, I very rarely get a dog that has made it through coat change if I haven't done it every 3 weeks. You know, I will almost always go to the take it down with the three comb once. Just do it once. It usually don't have to do it again. Am I doing the right thing there?
Okay. What color is the three?
Oh, okay. So the three comb that I use.
She says so scientifically.
Well, yes. I have a green one and a purple one because it's not metal. It's Marlene Romani's Tiny Three Rocker Comb. It's the little tiny rocker comb.
So it's the closest comb.
Yeah, it's not even the closest comb because like the red one and the blue one in the those are closer.
Oh, those are closer?
Yeah, the three falls like in between. It's just under the orange. So it would be just shorter than the orange, but it's got this nice rocker bottom. And with the clipper vac, it gets through most tangles so that I don't have to go any shorter than that. So I usually take it that short, but I rarely have to go with a four or five or seven, usually that three blade, but I often have to do that.
Yeah, and so what I would recommend when you're taking down a coat like that you not just clip it and forget it, but that you card it real well after you clip it.
Oh, okay. So I'll do that.
Actually pull out some of the excess secondary hairs and allow there to be room in that compound follicle for a big follicle to come in, because you know, like the truth is there's probably more we don't understand about hair, especially compound follicle canine hair in all of its variations. There's more that we don't understand than what we do. We don't really totally get all of the interrelationships and the biology of the compound hair follicle. But I seem sort of believe that if you don't make room in the compound hair follicle for a larger follicle to grow, then you're more likely to have just a lot of fine, soft, thin hairs grow.
Okay. So make room for the guard hairs.
But I could be wrong.
But you have more science behind you than most of us have. So I'm going to go with your thoughts. That's interesting. Okay, well, let's take a quick break and hear from South Park. Then we will do our comparison of Soothe and MED.
Okay, we're doing good. I'm rolling today.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
The definition du jour.
Definition du jour time. Barbara, both of these shampoos are in my caddy right now. The Soothe from Show Season and MED from Best Shot. I like them both. I have used Soothe forever. I'm kind of favoring the MED. I'm not sure if it's because of the way it smells or the way the coat feels or what's in it. So Barbara, tell me what you found out.
What I found out is that these two shampoos are very similar. And what I need to point out is that it is so different comparing two shampoos where you have complete ingredient disclosure than when you have these bogus, overgeneralized, so-called quasi fake news ingredient lists.
Very true.
I'm such a person of the times, aren't I?
You are. You're hip.
I'm hip. So I'm going to read the ingredients of the two shampoos, okay?
Okay.
Show Season Soothe, which I also have used for years. It is a 3% chlorhexidine in a sodium lauryl ether sulfate, SLES, cocamide MEA, cocaminopropyl betaine, polyquaternium 10, DMDM hydantoin, that's the preservative, sunflower oil triglycerides, aloe vera, fragrance and colorant.
Okay.
Okay, so that's that one. It's interesting that the ingredients for the new Best Shot chlorhexidine shampoo are a little bit different on the bottle than on the website.
Oh.
What's on the bottle is a little bit more specific because on the website, they're saying a blend of anionic and amphoteric surfactants, coconut-derived cleansing agents. But on the bottle, they actually say ammonium lauryl ether sulfate, sodium lauryl ether sulfate, and so cocaminopropyl betaine, lauric acid, amodimethicone, hydrolyzed wheat protein, aloe vera fragrance, DMDM hydantoin, they both have the same preservative, and citric acid, which we know is just a teeny pinch to properly acidify the solution.
So tell me this, where's the chlorhexidine in that one?
Oh, that's their first ingredient.
It's the first ingredient on both of them, right?
Yeah, but okay. The way that you're supposed to list a shampoo that has an active ingredient is actually the way that Show Season does it, where you say active ingredient 3% chlorhexidine, and then other ingredients are, okay. And you list the rest of them. But we do know it's very clear on the bottle that both of these shampoos have 3% chlorhexidine. So there's no difference in the amount of chlorhexidine in there. There is a little bit of difference of the shampoo base. The best shot is a combination of 2-sulfates, cocamidopropyl betaine, lauric acid. And then the show season is simply 1-sulfate and then cocamide MEA, which is not in the best shot. Cocamide MEA is a foaming agent, a foam stabilizer, and an emulsifier.
That's one of those ingredients that is not a friend of my bathing beauty. less foam.
Right. Well, you know, but the big foaming agent in both of these is the cocamidopropyl betaine. I mean, I have taken cocamidopropyl betaine and beat it with an electric whip, and it makes a foam that is so firm and so hard, it stayed at the same height in the jar for hours and hours while I gave the seminar.
Right. You know, I remember. I mean,
and when they make men's shaving foam commercials, they use straight cocamidopropyl betaine. It's such a stiff foam.
Stable.
It's stable. So,
So they both have that. I wonder what it is that I like differently in the...
Well, I think here's the difference. Best Shot is using amlodimethicone as their main conditioning agent, and Show Season is using polyquaternium 10, and also Best Shot has the hydrolyzed wheat protein.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of, so the difference is in conditioning ingredients. There's a bigger difference in conditioning ingredients than there is in the shampoo base.
I wonder if that's because Soothe has its own conditioner.
What do you mean?
Well, doesn't Soothe make a conditioner?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Soothe conditioner, yeah, has its company, its partner in a conditioner. I don't think that that's the reason.
Oh, it's just formulated different, just a different choice.
Formulated different. It's just choices. See, polyquaternium 10 is it's a static reducer. It enhances the appearance and feel of the hair. It increases hair body suppleness or sheen and improves the texture of hair. Well, what is improve?
Right.
No, but it actually smooths the hair cuticle, okay? So amlodimethicone does all of that, but it's a little bit more of a targeted. Amlodimethicone, what I like about it is that it seeks out the area on the hair shaft where it's most needed and fills in the rough spots real well. So I you know, like I being a silicone fan,
yes,
I'm interested in trying, now that I've read up about the Best Shot chlorhexidine, I want to try it and see what I think. I do like the fact that Show Season is offering a 3% chlorhexidine conditioner.
Because when we learned about chlorhexidine in conditioning and treating skin problems, I recall that it's better to be in the conditioner than it is to be in the shampoo, right?
Well, that's just my personal feeling, is that when you have a cleansing base, it lifts and removes and rinses out. When you have a conditioner base, you're adding to, you're adhering to the hair, and you're leaving in.
Right. It's meant to stay on there.
Yeah, it's meant to stay on there. And so your medicated ingredient is going to be more likely to stay on there with the conditioner base than it is with just a rinse off shampoo. So I like the idea of that. And then I also like the idea that Show Season has a new 3% chlorhexidine spray.
Oh, a spray too. Nice.
They have a spray too. And their spray, as well as their conditioner, contains, in addition to the chlorhexidine, which is 3%, 0.5 or 0.5% of copper acetate and benzyl alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so benzyl alcohol is a numbing agent.
Very nice.
It takes the pain away from the skin irritation temporarily.
Right.
And I don't know how temporarily. I would say that's a good question. How long does that numbing effect? I mean, it isn't going to be for very long. I think it's probably just for, actually, I think it's probably just for a few minutes.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I kind of was in disbelief because I read that show season says Sue's spray contains 0.5% benzyl alcohol. It diminishes or numbs the sting. And I said, that can't be. And so I dove deep into Google Scholar. And sure enough, one of the first uses of benzyl alcohol, and it's also used in some formulas as a preservative, but it's used as a numbing agent. And so it does do that. And it also has enhanced, benzyl alcohol and copper sulfate have enhanced antimicrobial range. So they extend the range of bad stuff that the medicated shampoo is going to deal with beyond what just the chlorhexidine can handle. And chlorhexidine is pretty broad spectrum to begin with. So that's kind of some of the difference. Interesting, they both contain aloe vera, and I would say that both products contain aloe vera in pixie dust amounts.
I was going to say, that just doesn't...
Yeah, it, show season, it's just before colorant, you know?
Yeah.
Colorant, so it's just really hardly there. Yeah, aloe vera... It's after sunflower oil triglycerides, which all show season products have, and show season uses sunflower triglycerides as a fragrance extender and as a It's an emollient. It's a skin friendly ingredient.
Okay.
Okay. It's kind of a defat, a refatting agent.
I think what I'm going to do is continue to use the MED, but I'm going to pick up some Soothe conditioner and Soothe spray.
Yeah, I think those are good products to have. Although I think the spray is probably going to be more of a pet owner product.
Yeah, I was thinking I could sell it.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
Cool. Okay, and Dave, get working on a conditioner, buddy. I have not done any shopping this week on Amazon, but I am about to because I've got this big pile of stuff in my room I'm looking at here, and I'm going to do some spring cleaning, even though we're not quite in spring yet. I'm going to start working through some of those boxes, and I want boxes and containers and bins and storage stuff, and Amazon is full of that stuff. So I'm going to go. Well, actually, I can't go. Sadly, I can't go to our website. But you guys, when you do your shopping, you can go to our website, www.thegroompod.com. Scroll down, click on the Amazon banner, and do your shopping from there. If you do that, then the Groom Pod will get a little bit of support from Amazon. And for that, we are forever grateful. Okay, Barbara, let's go back to answering some questions.
Okay, what's next?
So recently, Linda Trader says, on Facebook and the like, we have seen a lot of groomers who have not been getting very good mentoring and or education in their schools. And Linda was wondering if we could talk about all of the different ways you can get educated about grooming. And of course, the first way you can get educated about grooming is listening to the Groom Pod. But there's books out there, there's videos, there's internet groups. There's all kinds of ways. YouTube is a vast resource for information. But I think one of the best tools is to find other groomers and get together with them and use them as mentors. I like to be a mentor. I've done a lot of mentoring. You're my mentor. You've been my mentor since the beginning.
I love mentoring. You know, and how would you define mentoring?
I am at the other end of a phone for guidance, advice, emergencies, chatting, that kind of thing. Plus we get together and have general networking type stuff usually. Like, well, for instance, today for my birthday, my other grooming friend who started out kind of as a mentee, but more of as a co-groomer, Brandy, is we're going to lunch. So we'll be talking grooming, you can be sure. Oh, you yes. know, the mentorship continues.
Yeah. That's a long friendship that you've had with her.
I don't like change. Once you're in for good. yeah.
Oh, God.
Just one of those little personality quirks I have. I'm very loyal.
I have friends, but I end up being by myself all the time because I'm just like such a hermit.
Well, it's writing a rarity.
Writing kind of has isolated me in many ways, you know.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I have, you know, I have people who have mentored me, and I just honor that. And it's a little bit different from straight out teaching, although they're related, right?
Yes, correct. Mentoring, absolutely.
Because mentoring is more supportive
and ongoing
than just plain out teaching or coaching, you know? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's the best way to do it. And there are people who groom in locations where there are not a lot of other groomers, but the internet makes it possible to make connections and make those connections. We're here to support you guys. You guys support each other. Grooming is a good industry. It used to not be that way. It used to be everybody stayed in their shop and was afraid to talk, and everybody seemed more like competition. But in the past 5 or 10 years, I've seen that change. It certainly has changed in my neighborhood because I've made it change. You know, you got to make it change.
Be the change you want to see, right?
Right. Good one. Okay, let's do one more question here. And it is from Aletha Dobie, and she says, clarify one-on-one grooming by appointment, several dropped off at a time. How can you market each? I did one-on-one, but have recently had a bather to help out a few hours here and there from your recommendation. Ooh, from our recommendation. Am I still one-on-one? So is she still one-on-one if she's using a bather?
Oh, I think, you know, like I still consider that to be one-on-one. Maybe it's two-on-one, but it's not the same thing as shuffling dogs indiscriminately amongst groom techs and groomers. There's a continuity of relationship that's happening when you have a small salon and you have a single groomer or a groomer with bather, you know, and I have always considered myself to be one-on-one, even though I will multitask and so I call it low stress grooming.
That's a good way to put it.
And low volume. You know, you don't have to be ashamed of doing fewer dogs better and charging right. more. And it can be a good thing. And having and it's not a bad thing to have a multi-groomer, large staff, big volume.
Right. There's a place for that.
There's a place for that. That can be a good model too. I mean, it certainly can be a profitable model.
Right. So one-on-one grooming to me implies that you're doing one dog at a time.
There's no other dogs around except maybe your own pet. Yeah.
Right. Express grooming to me implies your dog gets done before everybody else's dog, you know, gets you pay extra. Your dog gets done first, but you may have more than one dog in there. It's express grooming. One-on-one grooming is to me, one groomer working on your dog start to finish. I would say a bather and a groomer combination would still be one-on-one grooming, as long as you're not doing other dogs in between. If you bring in, like what I used to do at the vet hospital, is I brought in three dogs at a time. So I brought in three dogs at 9 o'clock, and then those three dogs would go home at 12:30, and at 12 o'clock, three more dogs would come in. So I would have a little bit of an overlap of a half an hour where I'd be checking in and out dogs, and then I would be just me on those three dogs. But I wouldn't have called that one-on-one grooming, but I would call it specialized or individualized grooming. One-on-one to me implies start to finish, one groomer, one dog, one process. So would I still call myself a one-on-one grooming service if I did the three at a dog time? I don't know if I would.
Probably not. Not.
Yeah, I would say no.
I don't think that's accurate. No, there's, like I say, there's other terms that you can use that imply that you're doing high attention value.
Right. Or quick turnaround, with a bather, if you're taking three in and you've got a bather, or four or five in even with a bather, it's pretty quick turnaround on those first few dogs. So that's another way to market the individualized service.
So is it better, or, you know, like what was she asking about? Just how to word it?
Yeah, she's asking how to market it and if she's really one-on-one, if she's taking in more dogs than one at a time. So I say no on the taking in more dogs than one.
Yeah.
One-on-one means one.
Yeah, one at a time. And, you know, it's hardest to make a lot of money when you're doing one-on-one in a stationary shop. When you're doing one-on-one in a mobile,
they're already expecting a higher price.
They're all expecting a higher price. So it kind of works out. But you almost have to get a mobile price in a salon if you're going to do one dog at a time and not have any other dogs present and all of that kind of thing. You know, there are people that will call up and say, I want my dog groomed and I want my dog to be the only dog that's there. You know, and then it means you have to hide your personal dogs. And man, I just pass on that because I can't really promise that. I can do a quick turnaround. I can prioritize a person's dog. And there
Here's
you go, express grooming. But I don't want to do every dog express grooming. In order for me to do some dogs express grooming, I got to have something going on in the back that's still
making money.
Still making money, yeah.
Yeah, so here's my thought on it. There's many days in the week. Maybe you don't have a bather there every day. On the days you don't have a bather, you can offer that specialized one-on-one service at a higher price and market it as specialized. And then on the days you have the bather, keep your price regular. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to necessarily tell everybody. I mean, if people specifically ask for one-on-one, give them that other day, but then make your money with your bather and be more efficient in doing it that way. Because I agree.
That would be one-on-one upon available upon request.
There you go. There, that's the perfect answer. So one-on-one available on request. Then you can still use that as a specialty. You can charge for it, and you can continue to use your bather and your newer technologies. And
yeah, I have straight-out grooming. I have, like, Yoshi.
Right.
Yoshi comes the first Saturday of every month. He sings and wails and vocalizes the entire time he's in the shop.
I have a few of those. Oh my gosh.
And so he gets 1 hour service, no more. They off at 10, they pick him up at 11.
And, perfect.
And he's very much one-on-one. And sometimes it's me all the way through. Sometimes Yvonne will bathe him and then I finish him right away. And sometimes, you know, like it varies between the two of us. But he definitely gets straight through, fast out. And, you know, and the price is a little bit more than if he was hanging out for indefinite and we were at our leisure, you know.
Right. Yep. You pay for the time.
Pay for my time and you pay for my solitary attention to your dog.
All right, Barbara, we've got one more question.
Oh, boy.
And it's actually not a question. It's an answer to the trivia question.
The trivia question.
Okay. What sporting breed is groomed with a beard and shaggy eyebrows? Give it to me, Barbara.
That would be your Spinone Italiano.
I love the name. It made me immediately think of ice cream. Spumoni.
I know.
I would have to name my Spinone Spumoni. I'd have to.
All right. OCDC that you are. Well, What is this bearded dog doing? I mean, he almost looks like a terrier. But, you know, there he is. He's a sporting dog.
Good-looking guy. I looked him up.
Yeah. They're, and you know what? They're kind of, what do you call that? Rustic?
Yes, a rustic. They're definitely kind of rustic. Rustic,
which is cool. You know, we like rustic because you don't have to be so damn perfect.
Yes. Yay. Definitely. I like that a lot. All right, cool, Barbara. Well, I'm going to have lunch with Brandy for my birthday, and then I think I might make myself a pineapple upside down cake because it's my favorite cake of all.
Mm. Oh, you should indeed indulge yourself. My birthday is coming up on Thursday.
And that's the day this is going to post, so happy birthday, Barbara.
Yeah. So I'm going to my physical therapist on my birthday, and my new physical therapist is really helping me.
Yay, that's neat.
I'm happy for that. And then Yvonne is going to take me out for late lunch and margaritas.
Fabulous.
I think what she's doing, her brother works in a Mexican restaurant. He's a cook.
Oh.
And I think she's doing a special, I think this is why it's a late, it's an afternoon thing instead of an evening thing.
I think
they've given her a time. I think she's going to bring me and they're going to treat me like a queen.
I like it. I want to hear all about it. I want to hear every bit because I can't be there. Thanks for being here for my birthday, everybody.
All right. Barbara included.
Yeah. All right. Happy grooming. We'll see you here next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.